Let's stand and open our Bibles to John chapter 12 tonight. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. I don't believe tonight you'll hear anything new out of this text. We know the story. The Lord Jesus, just days before his death, here he comes to the house of Lazarus, and you know how close he is to Mary and Martha. And you know how Mary comes with this box of spikenard, very costly, and she anoints the feet of Jesus. And this passage is known for something that was done that was extreme. Now tonight, basically, here's what I want to do. We're going to review the text, but I want to ask you one question. For whom are you breaking your box? Now all of us have a box, and we'll get to what the box means in just a moment. But I just want you to think and consider, meditate tonight. Doesn't matter your age. For whom are you breaking your box? Everyone here is going to break their box. Everyone here has a box. The question is, for whom? Now, I like this passage because I like extreme Christianity. You don't see much of that anymore. I'm thankful that I'm old enough to be connected with a previous generation of preachers that were extremists. They're extreme in their passion. They're extreme in their preaching. They're extreme in their giving. They're extreme in their soul winning. They're extreme in their love for Christ. They were extreme. And I'm thankful I was connected to that generation. And I know when we think about those that are extreme is missionaries, maybe our minds would go way back. My son's a missionary in Ecuador, and we've often talked about Nate St. Jim Elliott. Years ago, we had the privilege of flying out in the jungle and meeting one of the men that participated in the massacre of those missionaries. Hard to believe now that entire tribe has been saved, reached by Rachel Saint, and what God did through all of that. God uses people that believe in extreme Christianity. I'm thankful for those in this generation that are extreme. I'm thankful for a few at a Capital City Baptist church. Aren't you thankful that Papa Nichols was an extremist? And he raised a few boys with the same philosophy. I'm thankful for Brother Jeff Porter out in the bush of Zimbabwe. We've been over there. And if you don't believe in extreme Christianity, go visit a missionary in Africa and watch how they live and what they give, what they do for the cause of Christ. We have some even in this generation. But we see what she did was extremely, look what it says in verse 3, very costly. Now all of us know Judas's comment. He's measuring the expense of this, 300 pence. And obviously we know and we've heard that a penny was a day's wage. So she was given basically there in the giving of this ointment, at least a year's wage. Can you imagine if the preacher received this week a check in the offering for a year's wage? 50, 60,000 last year at our missions conference, we took up a special offering and we received a check from a single person for $35,000. But for him, that was not a year's wage. Here's what's unbelievable. The Mormons believe in giving a year's wage. Matter of fact, many of them will give 2 years of their lives. But I don't believe God wants a year of our lives or 2 years of our lives. Here she comes. She recklessly pours out everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, God, give us some reckless Christians. Now, here's what we're talking about, reaching the world. Let me ask you this. Do you honestly think there's any way we're going to reach nearly 8 billion people if we don't get every Christian to bring their box? Would that be possible? Now, here's what I've seen. I've had pastors ask me, why is it that years ago that there was a time when conferences and missions conferences and special conferences were being held, and we saw a steady stream of young people come and surrender and go into full-time service or surrender to go to the mission field? We're not seeing that anymore. Well, there's been a great blockade that has taken place, and I've watched a phenomenon. Those preachers that used to be extreme, many of them have died, and the next generation has come, and the next generation now is nearing retirement. And some have realized what they've poured out and now tried to recover some of what they poured out. And now I've sat in missions conferences and even in youth conferences where pastors used to encourage the young people to give themselves and their lives to God, and now they talk about the pursuit of a career. Now parents are nervous about a young person considering the sacrifice of ministry, the sacrifice of a mission field. And now I've even watched pastors talk young men out of a calling. So some have come wanting to bring their box, and others have brought it, they just haven't broken it. They brought, you know, we make a big deal out of someone that comes and brings their box, but that doesn't mean you broke your box, because often 2 years later, 3 years later, they come to retrieve and change and redo the decision that was made. Now, here's what I believe. When she brought this box that was worth a year's wage, when you have a young person come and surrender, they have no idea of their earning potential. Matter of fact, very few have an actual idea of their earning potential. But many come and surrender when they're making $9 an hour at McDonald's, or surrender when they're making $12 an hour, and suddenly they start going through life, and I've watched young men suddenly 28, 30, and in Austin, Texas, with a little bit of help and a good work ethic, suddenly these companies are offering these young men $100,000 with benefits, and they're saying, I can make $120,000, and I can travel, and I can make more money on this side. And suddenly, instead of seeing that box is worth $25,000, now that box has a value of $125,000. Multiply that over the course of a lifetime, and they understand that box is worth millions. Now, here's what I don't believe. Although we sang tonight, you say, preacher, what are we talking about? Giving up your box. I think we sang it tonight. Your preacher mentioned it. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. This was the most precious thing she had. Now, young people, here's what you're going to have to understand. There are a lot of people that are sitting in here tonight. Very few people come and just break their box. It's too valuable. They pour a little bit here, and they pour a little bit there, and a little bit for Jesus, a little bit for mission, a little bit for my company. But here's what the most have done. If you sat down and interviewed the crowd that is over 40, I want to be cautious, but I don't want to be cautious. They've poured out most of their box. Their life, their time, their energy, their talent, the best years of their life, they've poured it out for a company. They've poured it out on themselves. Now, we understand the extreme cost of this, but this was also extremely unusual because it caught everyone off guard that she would come at this moment. We know the purpose of this box was for weddings and for funerals, and in their eyes, this was neither. So why would she bring her dowry and pour this out on the feet of Jesus and wipe his feet with her hair? They'd missed it. And we're going to divide these people into three groups in just a minute. She obviously falls in the category of those that get it. And I've realized the older I get and the longer I live, there are a whole lot fewer people in life that get it than you think. Most go through life, eternity, and souls in God become an afterthought, and their box is either used at a wedding or it's used at a burial. It's either used on themselves. This is about me and my desires in my life. And preacher, you've got to understand that I just need more square feet and I just need newer carpet. I don't believe there's any sin in that. But the next thing you know, you're 50 or 60 years old and your entire, the contents of that box, all of the spikenard has been spent on itself. What about the burial? Young people, I'm amazed at those that are so willing to break their box for a Home Depot. Break their box. This is Daddy's business. This is my uncle's business. This is Google. This is... You don't understand what they're going to do for me. I understand what they're going to do for you. They're going to get rid of you once you can't produce on the level they want you to produce, once you can't make them the money they want you to make. But we're taking our box on something that's dead, no life, and breaking it. Now, all I want to ask you tonight, I'm not here to hurt anybody. I'm not asking you to go back in your life and say, okay, Pastor, you're trying to hurt me because I misspent my spikenard. Maybe I used it on myself. Maybe I poured out the best for a company that didn't even care about me. So that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about what's left in the box and what you're going to do, because I believe time is short and there is no other way. We're talking about reaching the world. There is no other way to do it except for the local church. Right. And if every individual member of the local church doesn't examine their box and the contents of the box and say, what do I have left? Why is there one person? Now we understand Mark 14. We understand there are actually two ladies in Scripture. I know most preach that it's the same circumstance. I don't believe it's the same circumstance. I believe it's two separate individual ladies, two separate individual circumstances. But why would there only be two ladies in Scripture that brought their box? Maybe that's the average. Maybe the average is a lot lower than we think. People that truly break their box. Now, let me ask you this. Why would she break her box? We know this is motivated. Hold on for a minute. We know this is motivated. The only reason you break a box is for love.
Yeah. Right.
Now, the honest story behind this, in these times, in this day, when a lady was proposed to, her dowry was that spikenard box, and whatever was in it was a reflection of the wealth of that family. But if she was proposed to, she would pour out that ointment on the feet of the person that proposed to her, showing great respect to them, love, respect. It was love. This is all about love. Now, you know how we spend our lives on that which we love.
Right.
Now, she had a chance to spend it on Lazarus. We read in the previous, in the initial verse of the text, that Lazarus had died. We know that. She did not use it for him when he died. She was saving it for the person that she loved the most, the Lord Jesus Christ. My son recently had been almost a year in Ecuador, and he wanted to get engaged. He wanted to surprise Leah Smith, who he got engaged to this past Friday. And I was helping him in this endeavor to surprise her. Although his funds are limited, he wasn't talking to me about sparing expense. We're talking about a ring, a meal with people involved, tickets from Ecuador, a trip on a carriage. All these things were adding up to thousands and thousands of dollars, which I knew he had very carefully saved up, but that was not excess money. But you know what I never heard mentioned in that endeavor, in those plans? Never once did he talk about the cost of the meal or the cost of the ring or the cost of the carriage or the cost of the tickets. It was the emotion of, I'm breaking my box. I get to spend this money. If I ask him for $50, it might be with debt, certainly, but can you tell me what the need is? But here thousands and thousands of dollars are being spent with a sparkle in the eye because we break our box for those we love. I've given Brother Farley and Brother Logan upon their preaching, the trips that they've come to Austin. I've given them different gifts and meals. But I promise you this, none of it was lavish like I have spent or invested on my own wife or children. You can measure love by the spikenard spilt. This is the odor of love. Now let me ask you this. Don't you think that he is the most deserving? He had saved them. He had befriended them. He had recently raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, how many of you would say, he saved me? He's been a friend to me. And I've got a family member that he's raised from the dead. Got a child that he's raised from the dead. So there shouldn't be any problem at all breaking the box. I wonder why there's a general nervousness. I'm sure Brother Farley has seen this. Brother Logan both preached a lot of missions conferences. You can hold a lot of events at a church, and it doesn't make very many of the people nervous. But if you hold a missions conference, it's just because I think people know something's going to be mentioned that's going to push them. Now, should there be any need at all, knowing who Jesus is and what he's done, should we have to hold a missions conference? Should we have to nudge, push, pull? Shouldn't there be a race when the opportunity is given? Shouldn't there be a race to the altar and say, here's my box. Whatever's left, I'm shaking it out. Now, here's what I've come to. I'm not nearly the age of your elderly pastor. Not nearly the age of Brother Farley. But you know what I've started doing over the past 12 months? I'm starting to number my days in ministry. I'm starting to look and say, what have I done? What if, and here's what I fear. I truly, years ago, I'm thankful to my youth that my dad had taken me to conferences. God began to work in my heart. And I remember a specific church, Levon Drive, in 1986. I can still remember the message and the moment and the accumulated preaching that took place. But going down to that, I couldn't reach the altar, but I got as close as I could. And I broke my box and said, God, everything I have and everything that is not much, but I want to give it to you. But here's what I want to do on a regular basis. I want to make sure I'm still tipping that box. Shaking everything out of it. But now that I'm nearing 49, it's different because sometimes I thought, sometime maybe in shaking that box and emptying it at Christ's feet, you know what I did? I didn't get it all on Christ. I think I was a little bit careless and I splashed some of that ointment in other places. I just want to be a little more cautious now. I'm looking at the next 15 years and I'm saying in my ministry with those I'm teaching and with our efforts in general, I just want to make sure I'm not in a hurry or in carelessness. I wonder how many of the disciples walked out of that room smelling like spikenard. There was an overflow. We understand that was part of the impact. But I want to make sure that what I'm doing is for Christ and for Christ alone, because He's worthy. Amen. Young people, let me help you out. Here's a Blessing of Missions conference. This is your opportunity. Here she was. Christ is in my house. It had registered. She understood. I'm truly convinced. I'm truly convinced there are people sitting here that 20 years ago they said, I'm going to break my box for Christ. And then 15 years ago they said, I'm going to break my box for Christ. And then it kept waiting and for the feeling and for the moment and for the conference and for the message and for the timing to be right. And they kept thinking and kept saying, I'm going to make it happen. Young people, I'm going to tell you right now, you better do this in your youth. I'm talking about every chance you have, use Missions Conference as that opportunity to say, God, here is my box. I'm not bringing it. I am breaking it. And when we talk about break your box, this does not mean you're shredding your life to go to the mission field. How many think this lady actually ended up in a foreign country? How many think she married a preacher? As far as we know. It was simply saying, did you know you could break your box? We have several men in our church, Brother Farley knows one. We had a conference several years ago. Brother Chris Green, a fine member of our church, who has a job, his second job is flipping houses. And at this conference, he flipped a house and he said, preach by faith. I'm going to sign Wednesday the Missions Conference and I'm going to give all of the proceeds to the Missions Conference. And 5 days before he signed on that house, he wrote a check, a very large check for a lot of money. Sent it ahead to the mission board. We sent it out as special projects and gifts. And on the Tuesday night of the missions conference, that house that he was supposed to sign on the next day, there was a flood, a 500-year flood. He had 18 inches of water sitting in that house. And those people backed out. Now, Brother Farley's a man of love and compassion. I asked Brother Farley, I said, will you sit down with him, say something encouraging, do something? I don't know what to say. He's not going to back out. Brother Chris Green loves missions and missionaries. And Brother Farley sat down. I sat down across the table, wondering what he was going to say. And the first question he asked, Brother Chris Green, tell me about the house. And he told him the circumstance. He said, did you talk to your pastor before you bought that house? He said, yes. He said, what did your pastor say? He said, not to buy it. He said, there you go. That's not exactly the words of encouragement that I was hoping to hear from Brother Farley. I asked Brother Chris, I said, I know we've sent that money out. Do you want the money back? He said, no, preacher, absolutely not. I gave that to God. That box was broken. I'm not trying to bring that box back. Now, here's what's amazing. He trusted God in that. The city came behind, bought out all those houses, and gave him $30,000 more. I said, are you going to send that to missions? Now, we're talking about, it doesn't mean you're going to the mission field. It doesn't mean you're going to the ministry. It doesn't mean that she went full time with her calling into the work of God. It simply said, what I have, what I possess, what God has given me, what's most precious to me, I want to make sure that I'm giving it to Him for His honor and His glory. And love will motivate that kind of gift. Go with me to Luke 10. Why? I'm going to ask you why. Why weren't there more breaking their boxes? Now let me ask you, who was present in this room? Lazarus, one of his best friends. Martha, the disciples, maybe a few others. Now wouldn't you think that just out of the group in this room that everyone there would have understood? There wouldn't be any feedback or fuss. Now we know in Mark 14 the disciples in general were mentioned, although just Judas was mentioned in the situation in John chapter 12. But we know by the basic response, she was the only one there that got it. Now let me ask you this. I've wondered, how is it we can have missions conferences every year and special speakers, and this is not just a theme of missions conference, but something that's constantly preached on. How is it that can be preached and re-preached and preached and re-preached, yet the percentages of Christians that understand the importance of breaking the box for God is still very, very low? You know the story. We'll still read it. Verse 39, Luke 10:39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at one? She sat at his feet and heard his word. Martha was comforted about much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary had chosen that good part." She was sitting at his feet and heard his word. We're looking at what's going on in the Fundamental Baptist movement, and we're now seeing the repercussions of something that took place decades ago, a generation of young people that were raised in church but not raised at Jesus' feet. There was no personal walk with God, so that generation grew up and left church. There was nothing in their heart. It was performance. It was fulfilling the duty of mom and dad and what was preached in the pulpit. But there was nothing in the young people that motivated them to stay at Jesus' feet. You know where you hear Christ? Now, all of them had heard the messages that where he had spoken about. Now, I don't want to go down this trail because I don't want to chase rabbits, but it is important that we mention. The disciples are here. And they had heard more than Mary and Martha about his coming death. Why had they missed it?
Right.
Because they had heard what they wanted to hear. They were convinced. This is about a throne. This is about a kingdom. This is about me. This is about good times. This is about miracles. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Can I sit on your right hand? Can I sit on your left hand? There was Mary at his feet listening. And he says he's going to die.
Yeah.
And there's Peter, one of the most astonishing scriptures in all the Bible, Matthew 16. And Christ says, "I'm going to die. And on the third day, come out of the grave." And Peter says, "Lord, you know, you preached some good messages before. The message on the Sermon on the Mount, that's pretty powerful. But that just message that you just preached, I would not re-preach that outline again. That was a lousy. Yeah. It depressed all of us. I don't know what you're talking about. We're all going to die at some point." Isn't it astounding to think that Jesus Christ rebuked God in the flesh? The very passage where he's being rebuked, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He recognizes this God in the flesh, and then he rebukes him for the message that he preached, the lesson that was taught upon his death. He didn't get it. This is why Peter is sitting in this house. Peter doesn't get it. The disciples don't get it.
Right.
One person gets it. This is why in Luke 22, Christ looks at Peter and says, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." He was saved. He wasn't converted. This is why before the Lord's resurrection, show me in the Gospels who Peter helped. Show me one person who Peter helped. He didn't help anyone. He couldn't help anyone. He wasn't converted. He didn't understand the purpose of Christ's life. You know what he got from? Peter in Acts is a totally different person.
Yes, he is.
The man that couldn't pray an hour leads a prayer meeting in the last 10 days. The man that's on the boat panicked and saying, "Lord, we perish," is now saying, Don't threaten me with death. Just cut my head off. The man that was denying Christ three times is now sleeping in prison, knowing the next day he's going to lose his life. Something dramatic had taken place in his life. He got it. He just got it after Mary. She's the only one that, you know where she got it? Near Jesus, young people.
Amen.
You know why we don't have more people breaking their box?
Yeah.
They're not near enough.
Help us, Lord.
To Jesus to break the box. If we got our crowds near to Jesus, mission would be taken care of. Because we'd have saints flocking the altar saying, God, I just want to give you what I have.
Amen.
I don't think pastors get it. I don't think parents get it. I don't think our spiritual leaders get it. That's why these kids are being pushed into the secular. Go back with me to John 12 for just a moment. I want you to think about this. Verse 3, she sits at the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, this is awkward. We're talking about extreme here, right? Let me ask you this. Man, what would you think if you have a meeting, there's 15, 20, 25 people there, and things seem pretty normal. They were used to Mary and Martha. They were used to Martha serving the meal. They were used to Mary being at Jesus' feet. Let me ask you this. How awkward would it feel if you were in a meeting and some woman came in and started washing or anointing the feet of your pastor with ointment and her glory, her hair? I think the room would go a little tense. People would look at each other without saying it. What are their eyes saying? Awkward. This is really, really awkward. Now, here's what happens. When we go to break our box, we go to do something. We're at a missions conference. Some of you, over the course of your life, had poured out a little bit here and poured out a little bit there. This is a chance to check what's in your box and pour something out. Some of you could do something extra. Some of you could write a check that you've never written before. Give something you've never given up before. Identify something in your life that is precious to you and say, this year, just this year, I'm going to exchange what I'd invest in that and invest it in the work of souls around the world. The problem is that's awkward.
Yeah.
There she is. She's going to hear the criticism. But on top of that, maybe the others didn't say anything, but she can feel the stares. She knows the look. She understands she's making everyone there. You know, when someone really gets it, they make everyone else awkward. You get a young man, you get it's awkward. Listen, if you're in your 50s and you've broken your box for the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you don't have the car that other people have at your age. You don't have the house that other people have at your age. You don't have the retirement that other people have at your age. And in America, that's awkward. Because at 55, you're supposed to have your phone is supposed to show your social status. Your shoes are supposed to show your social status. Your glasses are supposed to show. Your car, the neighborhood where you live, in the house that you live in, are also supposed to show your social status. So if you have broken your box, not for this world, not for yourself, not for a company, but for God. Missionaries, have you noticed that breaking your box is awkward? Calling preachers you don't know and sitting in churches, a new one every week, and reintroducing yourself and staying in places you've never been. Awkward. Breaking your box. When I went to Bible college, my dad was convinced I was going to go back and be an assistant pastor there at Capital City Baptist Church. And when God called me to the mission field, I remember it was an old payphone. These kids don't know what a payphone is. Had numbers in a wheel. You had to stick your finger in the wheel. put a quarter in the machine. Think now, because it's long distance, you had to put $1.25, five quarters in the machine, and do the wheel. And I remember holding that phone and talking to my dad. My dad was not happy, and he was a pastor. And he told me why I wasn't called to Argentina. He let me know that God was leading me to Austin to work as an associate. Awkward. Extreme Christianity is extremely awkward. But look at the impact. We understand the house was filled with the odor of the... How many of you ever seen someone that breaks a box and you smell the odor? It fills the house. Now, go with me to Mark 14. We know the passage, but I believe we still need to read it. You've probably heard it from the mouth of your preacher. I didn't even want to look online. I bet he has a message like this online. I thought, I'm not even going to look online because I don't want to listen to him and be disappointed that I can't preach anything on that passage. Mark 14, verse 9. We know the impact. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout what? You know the only way the gospel is going to be preached throughout the whole world is if Christians decide to break their box. Now, I know we talk about North Korea being a closed country. Do you understand there was a great revival in North Korea in the early 1900s? Let me ask you this. Do you think there's any chance there's a country in this world where this story has not been preached? This odor has reached Liberia, Gabon, Japan, Kuwait, Uganda, Argentina. I don't care where you go. It's reached that. The odor's reached. Now, you want to know how to have impact? It's not by accumulating more. I'm not against the accumulation of things. But are you going to break your box for that? 50 years. Let me ask you this. 50 years. How much of that ointment has been spent on Christ? You didn't bust your box. If you're sitting here at night, you still got something in your box. But this smell reached in 2,000 years, it has permeated every continent and every country. We had a missionary. I have three men that highly impacted my life in the area of missions. When I was a young man trying to figure out where God wanted me and determine what my future was, our pastor brought in a hog farmer from Missouri named Brother Johnston. We sat down. He had not even gone to the field yet. We sat down. I'm a kid. And he asked me, have you ever considered the mission field? No. He said, I'm a hog farmer. I don't know what God's going to do through me or how he's going to use me. The next time I saw him, they had gone through an incredibly difficult moment in the field where she was raped by soldiers in front of the family. Miss Johnston is one of my heroes. After that family came under national attack by pastors, she said, I want to live and die in this field. And even after her husband died, she stayed to minister in that country, having suffered atrocities we can't imagine. That hog farmer had an odor, not from a farm, but from love for his Savior that permeated thousands and thousands of lives. Dozens of men went to the field because of the smell of love on that man. That's impact. Now let's talk about those that don't like it. Very few get it. And there are a few that don't like it. Look what it says, verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He said that not because he cared for the poor. Thank you, John, for being honest about this. Sorry, sucker. But because he was a thief. And he had the bag. Now, we know there are people. He looked to be good with money. He's a thief. He wasn't concerned about the poor. He wasn't concerned about Christ. Can you imagine something being spent on Christ being called a waste? Now, here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to become overly passionate or crazy tonight. That's not my pulpit, my church. But I'll tell you what waste is. Waste is the United States of America and our excessive buildings and every crazy thing we spend money on, from coffee shops to gyms to ball fields. The millions that we have in our budget with five saved a year, that is waste. I'll tell you what is not waste. The money that we invest in missions where thousands get saved on a budget that is literally pennies. That's what we are doing in the States is a waste. Waste. I see it all the time. I travel. I observe our pews, our pianos, our bathrooms, our facilities. Waste. I told our church recently, we lack space every minute of the day, from school to Spanish church to English church, our parking lot. I said, if you want to invest in a building project, I've got 15 years of physical strength left. Find another preacher. I'm sending every last dime we can get to the field. I'm not wasting my life, my time, my energy, or money in a building project in Austin, Texas, so you can have a more comfortable pew to sit in. Waste. That's Judas talking. So there are a few that not only don't get it, but they're frustrated by it. They don't like it. Now let's talk about the last group when we're done. When he says this was a waste, what did Christ respond and say? What did he say in verse 7? Leave her alone. You leave her alone. I like those words. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. I learned that lesson as a young man in Argentina. I think I told you this story years ago. We had a young lady brand new to missions conference. She made a faith promise, $250. I thought it was the old currency, 250 pesos, which was the equivalent of $25. It wasn't. It was actually $250. You know how I found out? I was sitting in my house one day. She pulled up in a taxi, brought in a box of change. And I sat at the table and counted it. 200. That was a month's wage for a working male, which very few males in Argentina were working and actually being paid. I grabbed that box. We didn't own a car. Got a taxi. Went over to her house. Sat down at her table. Said, let me re-explain this to you, Vanessa. I took 30 minutes. I re-explained faith promise. By the time I got done, her head looked red and ready to explode. She stood up. I've never had a woman yell at me face to face, preacher. And she yelled, she pointed her finger, she said, if you're not going to take that money, I understood the first time you preached it, that's why I made a faith promise. And if you're not going to take that money, I'll leave your church and find a church that'll do what you said you were going to do and send it to missions. I picked up my little box full of $250 of change and I walked out the door. You know what I learned my lesson? You leave it alone. Amen. When someone gets it, you leave it alone. Amen. I was preaching in Trinidad years ago, and one of Brother James Hoffmeister's members that was given $700 or $800 a month had made a faith promise of $1,800 a month. Brother James came to me and said, what do I do with that $1,800 a month faith promise? I said, leave it alone. Yeah. What do you do? He made it. You know what we do? Leave it alone. Now, Here's my question. Go with me to Mark 16. Here's my question tonight. For whom are you breaking your box? So everyone knows her timing was perfect. Christ would soon die, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, 3 days later, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, brought sweet spices that they might come and do what? Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre, the rising of the sun. Verse 6, and he saith unto them, be not afraid, ye see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Who was not bringing spikenard? Mary. Why? She had already anointed him. It's too late, ladies. Too late to bring your box. 3 years ago, Spanish church had a man come. He said, can you come visit us? And I went over. They'd visited church a couple weeks, and I sat down at their table. And he said, preacher, I want to tell you my testimony. I said, that's why I came. I want to hear your testimony. He said, I got saved in Mexico, called to preach, went to Bible college when I was 18. Shortly after graduating from Bible college, I started making money. I made it across the border, started making more money. I kept thinking to myself, at some point, I'm going to pastor. At some point, I'm going to fulfill my calling. At some point, I'm going to get involved in ministry. But he said, I just kept making more money and more money. I started my own business. He said, 30 years later, preacher, I haven't spent one day for Christ. Too late. Little late now. And young people, here's what I'm asking you. One lady came and broke her box. And the others all had a box. But by the time they got it, you know what I'm finding out? People in their 50s and 60s, about the time they're starting to realize it, they can't even accept it because it drives them crazy thinking about the waste of their box on things that did not matter. And in your youth, you ought to say, God gave me a box, and here's what I'm going to do. God, I don't know what you have planned for my life. When I was 13, I broke my box. I had no idea what God was going to do with me, but I said, you know what, God, I just want to be used for you. Now, church, when it comes to missions, here's what gets crazy. Local church people suddenly become universal church believers. So we talk about missions all of a sudden. Oh, it's the obligation of the church. The universal church to reach the world. So we're just going to do our little part. What happened to your local church philosophy? I believe it is the job of Capital City Baptist as a local church to reach the world. Now, how's that going to happen? Every week I'm trying to get one more person to break their box. Amen. So the question, for whom are you breaking your box? Tonight is not too late. You still, if you're alive, you still have something left in your box. And if we're going to reach the world, young people, you're going to have to say, God, if you have me on a job, I don't care where you send me, what you have planned for me, I'm using my life for your honor and glory. I'm going to fall in love with you. And young people, if you're not at Jesus' feet, no one is going to preach a message that will turn the light on. Until you get at Jesus' feet and you understand, He is the only one on this planet worthy of my box.